Okay, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being here for this press point with the High Representative and Vice President, Mrs. Federica Mogherini, and the NATO Secretary General, Mr. Jens Stoltenberg. After the statement, we will open the floor for three questions maximum. Sorry about it. And I will now leave the floor to the High Representative and Vice President, Mrs. Mogherini. Please.
Thank you very much. This is actually just realizing my first press conference in this capacity, and I'm happy that it is with Jens, with Secretary General Stoltenberg, as this is actually my second working day in office, even if Sunday was already quite a working day, as you can imagine. But we discussed, before he became Secretary General, before I became High Representative, that we would work together closely, that we would coordinate as much as we can, and that we would meet very soon at the beginning of our respective mandates. He had to wait some weeks for me to join, but here we are, and I'm happy that this is actually not only the first press conference I do here, but also one of the first, very first bilateral meetings that that I have in my capacity. So it's a great pleasure, also personally, because we know each other since a little bit of time, and I think we can also personally go very well together, and politically this is going to be extremely important for our respective constituencies. We have obviously different mandates, different membership, even if 22 of our member states are the same. But we have a common challenge in front of us, security environment that is worrying more and more every day. And the intention, both stated by the European Union at the Council in June last time and by NATO at the last summit in Wales, that cooperation among us should improve. Also because this is probably the only way of having effective capabilities on a military ground. And we all know how much it is important that we manage to have an effective work on the defense and security landscape. We decided that we would meet regularly, hoping to be in Brussels quite often. We decided also that we would participate respectively to meetings, internal meetings of our organizations. I had the pleasure of inviting Secretary General Stoltenberg to the next Foreign Affairs Council meeting in the format of defense, next 18th of November, and we discussed also my presence to the next NATO ministerial in the beginning of December. And we would be happy to work together on defining further the cooperation between NATO and the European Union in the coming months. Our mandate starts together, and we have some years on which we can develop this cooperation in an effective way. We covered also in our meeting all the hot topics that we have on our agenda, starting obviously from Ukraine and Russia, sharing the need for a firm and strong reaction together with an open channel of dialogue. This mix could maybe give us some hope for a political solution of the crisis in the east of Ukraine for the sake of us all, and also, and first of all, from the Ukrainian interest. We discussed issues related to the Middle East and to Mediterranean, in particular Syria and Iraq, and also Libya, and we discussed also the situation in the Western Balkans, where both NATO and the European Union have and the presence. And let me say, even if it's not strictly related to the EU-NATO cooperation, but I know there is a lot of attention to that among the media and also in the public opinion sector, let me say a few words on EULEX Kosovo. I know that it is high on your agenda, and it's also high on my agenda. I've started dealing with the case yesterday as my first day in office. Yesterday there was a discussion in AFET in the European Parliament, as you know, and I intend to appoint, as a matter of urgency, an independent and experienced legal expert to review the mission's mandate implementation with a particular focus on the handling of the allegations of corruption. I think it is good to tell you before you ask, because I know you were going to ask, so I anticipated you, and obviously we're working on a name that I will communicate to you as soon as it is agreed on in the coming days. And yes, sorry, it was a little bit too long, but it was my first one. I'm an Italian, so you have to see me.
Thank you so much. And first of all, let me thank you so much for welcoming me here at your second day in office. It's really a great pleasure to meet with you. And I take that as an expression both of our old friendship, and it's therefore nice to see you again in your new capacity, but also of our common intention to develop further the cooperation and the relationship between the European Union and NATO. And NATO and the European Union, we have a lot in common. We share common values, we share common assessments, and we face common challenges. And we are working together in the Balkans, in Afghanistan, and also in fighting piracy off the coast of the African Horn. So there are already many places where we are working closely together, and we should look to how we can expand and develop that cooperation. Then, during our meeting, we discussed several issues, as Federica has already mentioned, but one of the issues we focused a lot on was, of course, the situation in Ukraine. And in Ukraine, we have had so-called elections by armed separatists in the eastern parts of Ukraine. And those elections, they run directly counter to the Minsk agreements, and NATO allies will not recognize those so-called elections. Recently, we have also seen Russian troops moving closer to the border with Ukraine, and Russia continues to support the separatists by training them, by providing equipment, and supporting them also by having special forces, Russian special forces, inside the eastern parts of Ukraine. So we call on Russia to make genuine efforts towards a peaceful solution, and to use all their influence on the separatists to make them respect the Minsk agreements and respect the ceasefire, which is a precondition for a political solution to the difficult situation in Ukraine. We also discussed the international effort to combat the terrorist group ISIL and the threat that the returning foreign fighters can pose to our countries, and the turmoil we see in Libya. And I underlined that NATO stands ready to help the government of Iraq and to help Libya and others to bolster their defense and to increase their capability to take care of their own security in their own country. NATO and the European Union plays different roles in different parts of the world, but we are important together when we are able to cooperate and when we are able to complement each other. And that's the aim of our cooperation, is that we shall be even better in the future to complement each other and to work together. And I also would like to underline that in this challenging, there is a need to both invest more in defense, but also to invest better in defense. And that very much relates to defense industry, to our industrial base. And that's of great importance both for the European Union and for NATO, that we are able to, we call it in NATO smart defense. In Europe, we speak more about pooling and sharing, but to be able to utilize our resources in an even more effective way, so we are getting more defense out of the investments we make in defense. So there are many different areas where we are going to work together. I welcome very much the invitation to attend different meetings within the European Union, and I'm looking very much forward also to invite Federica to our meetings as signs of the importance of expanding the cooperation between the European Union and NATO. So thank you.
Thank you. Considering the time, we'll take two questions. Maybe Irina, please.
Agency, UNIAL. I have a question for High Representative and Secretary General. High Representative, because Russia did not say clearly and did not make a statement that this so-called election on Donbass was not legitimate. So by this way, they, let's say, they recognize it, etc. Okay. Don't you think that the EU has to strengthen a sanction against Russia? How react, what kind of reaction we can expect on this move of Russia? And Secretary General, also on the Russia activity, because recently we see in the past few days that they increase activity, military activity in the European Sea. We see a Russian fighter flying above of Europe, and we also mentioned Russia activity in Ukraine and around Ukraine. What do you think Russia is doing? Especially when we are talking about fighters in European sky. What do you think that Russia intend to do? And how NATO will react on this? Thank you.
So first, when it comes to the increased Russian military activity, both in the air, but also along the borders of Ukraine, I think that what we see is, especially when it comes to increased air activity of Russian planes, is that they are showing strength. And what we are doing is what we are supposed to do. We are intercepting the Russian planes, whether it is in the Atlantic Sea, or in the Baltic Sea, or in the Black Sea. And the numbers of intercepts has so far this year been over 100, which is about three times as much as the total number of intercepts in the whole of last year. So there is an increased military activity, and NATO is doing what we are supposed to do, and that is to intercept those flights. I will not speculate too much on the intentions and the purpose, but we are present. We are reacting in an appropriate way, and I think also it underlines the importance of that continuing with our reassurance measures, and that we are continuing with the air policing, which increases our ability to both monitor, to follow the situation, but also to intercept these kind of flights, which we have seen more of from the Russian side during the last year.
As for my part is concerned, we have stated very clearly already on Sunday evening that these so-called elections are not only illegal and illegitimate and will not be recognized, but also that they risk to put in danger, in serious danger, the path of dialogue and peace that was in difficult but wise way put in place, first of all by President Poroshenko with the work on the Minsk protocol and the Minsk process. This is the main risk that I see now, that we close this window of opportunity for internal and for dialogue with Russia, to which the Ukrainians themselves have worked on, and that was that is still what they're mainly asking us to support politically, trying to find a way of solving the crisis in a political way. Having said that, the evaluation of the sanctions, as you know, is always ongoing. We've always said in the past and we will continue to say in the future, the evaluation of the situation on the ground is what moves us in strengthening the sanctions, in lifting the sanctions, in limiting the sanctions, in adding more elements to that. And this is a process that is going to go on in the coming weeks. We have a Foreign Affairs Council foreseen on the 17th of November. The situation in Ukraine will for sure be on the agenda, and we'll have a discussion there. But I would say the main topic of discussion today should be, I think, what is in Ukraine, which is how do we ensure that we find a solution to the conflict. Sanctions can be an instrument, can be an effective instrument, can be a less effective instrument, depending on the timing and on the scale and on the unity that we have around these measures that we take. But it stays a form of political pressure, a form of instrument, not the aim in itself. The aim in itself is the research of a solution to the crisis.
Thank you. Laurence?
Hi, Laurence Norman from the Wall Street Journal. One question for each, if I may. For the high rep, you've stolen my question for me. So maybe I can just ask you, when will you make an announcement? And what will be the role exactly of the person that you put in charge? Will they be responsible for the investigation, or will they be overseeing the investigation that is carried out by ULEX? And then for the Secretary General, a question on Ebola. You said, I think, last week that you are consulting with the UN on a NATO role. Since then, you've come under pressure from two of your predecessors to step up NATO's role, particularly on command and control airlift. Is NATO ready to take a bigger role on Ebola, and when can they get that off the ground?
I start first now. As I said, I took the decision today to appoint a legal expert, an independent legal expert, to look and review the mission's mandate implementation, obviously with a particular focus on the handling of the allegations. I will communicate the name as soon as first of all, the name is identified and the person in concerned is informed and agreed on doing this job, which might be quite challenging. I would tend not to communicate that to you before then communicate that to the person identified. And obviously, I hope and I'm sure this will be in a reasonable time framework, because this is in our interest. As we have me coming in as a new high representative, but also a new leadership of the mission in Kosovo, to be completely transparent, completely reliable in terms of credibility, not only of EULEX, but also of all the other missions that are and have to stay credible. Obviously, the mandate of this expert will have to cope with the legal framework that he will have to face, he or she will have to face. Can do a lot, cannot do all, cannot substitute its work to the judiciary one, but I hope that that will come very soon. I'm confident it will come very soon.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We will have to stop here. Sorry about that.
Ebola. On Ebola, I would like to stress that the Ebola crisis, it's very serious, and it's actually also a threat to international peace and security. At the same time, NATO is not the first responder to this kind of crisis, but as I stated last week, we are in contact with the UN to see if there is any specific role for NATO to play in the fight against Ebola. To a large extent, what NATO possesses of resources is actually national resources. So it's partly also a discussion of whether the different resources, for instance, airlift capacity, which different allied nations possess, if it's most efficient to organize that through NATO, or more directly towards the region, or in cooperation with other countries, or through the UN. So to some extent, we speak about the same resources, but how to channel or how to organize the delivery of those resources through NATO or through other channels, because we speak partly about national resources, which in one way or another is going to be used against or in the fight against Ebola. Let me just end by saying that many allies, many NATO countries, they are already doing a lot, and I welcome very much the efforts of many NATO allies in fighting the Ebola, because it's such a serious crisis and threat to all of us, and therefore it's important to mobilize a lot against it.
Thank you, and sorry for that, Mr. Stoltenberg. Thank you very much to all of you. See you.